Blondie is coming to the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art, Mass MoCA, on Friday night, and we'll be taking over Joe's Field. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Debbie Harry to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks very much. It's great to be with you, and I'm looking forward to getting up to Mass MoCA. We're all sort of talking about it, and we've just done some shows in L.A. I mean, of course, everything's always quickly exposed on online. So I guess our fans have been checking us out, but our show is looking really great. And it's so funny that, you know, I was looking at this Laurie Anderson exhibit that's coming up over there.
Yeah.
And she's also using some black light, so I guess we're sort of in tune.
When you are putting together a show, how often does that happen for you, when you put together a new show that you take out?
How often?
Yeah, I mean,
it's always a work in progress, truthfully. You know, we try things, and if they work, they work. If they don't work, you know, we move on. And depending on sort of like the length of the show that we do recently, we were in part of a mini festival in L.A., and our show was cut back a little. So, you know, it fluctuates.
So when you put together a set list, what is that process like? Because you have music, obviously, your hits. There's new music. There are covers. There's a lot there.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's very difficult to choose, you know. We do have a lot of, I think we have a lot of great songs, so.
Well, you
it
do
is
have.
Hard to choose.
You do have a lot of great songs. At what point did you know that this is what you wanted to do, that this is what you wanted your life to be?
Well, I was always drawn to music and some kind of performance. I don't know if at the time when I was young, whether I knew exactly how I wanted that to, pan out or play out. But I guess, you know, by the time I was a young adult, I was kind of obsessed with the idea, you know, of having a band. And I really liked the ensemble situation. It really suits me. And so fortunately, it's all worked out.
Because there's never really been, from my understanding, there's never been a time where you've always been making music. You never stopped. I mean, there have been various degrees of fame, but you've never really stopped doing this.
No. I do, occasionally try different projects that, sort of have a different, slightly different direction. But no, I don't think that I would ever stop being a recording artist or some kind of performance.
When Blondie reformed and you came back in the late 90s, you were working together after 15 years. Now you've been working together for a long time again, right? I mean, so what has that been like for you to work in this with this current group and to continue to make music and continue to release albums and even your solo albums too?
Right. Well, you know, during that break when Blondie wasn't working, I was working, and I was working closely with Chris on some solo projects. So that, you know, is how I spent my time back then. And then Chris sort of got inspired to, bring the band back together, as they say. But, it took us a little while to figure all that out, the intricacies of record contracts and you know, all of that nonsense. So took us a little while, but now since we've put it back together, I guess in the late 90s, we've been working, I would say, easily twice as long as the original Blondie. And I think that the band that I'm working with now is so great. I mean, this is such a great bunch of musicians, and you know, we've really risen to the occasion, I guess is a good way to say it.
The thing about your success that I've always found to be, it seems to me just to be beautiful, but not only were you successful in this country, but your global success was just amazing. You, this music is not only the soundtrack to people in this country, but around the world.
Yes, we're very fortunate that initially, I mean, I think in retrospect, you know, initially, I was very excited and very happy, you know, to, you know, sign primarily with a British label, and that you know, escalated us and shot us out right away to Australia, where we had our first hit, and so then we went into Southeast Asia and Japan. So it, you know, it did work in our favor in that respect. I would have. And, you know, now, looking back, think that, you know, it would have been better had we initiated our success here at home. But, you know, you can't sort of, you know, regret or deny, you know, what's happened and how it's worked. It's just, I guess everybody has a different career opportunity, so... Yeah, you know, when you get it, you take it, you know.
And you look at the body of work that you've had. I mean, that is stunning and continue to have. I mean, that is a really, most artists, I would think, would kill for that, for that catalog.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy with it.
Because it also, how do you look at, when you look back on it, and even as you're performing it in shows like the one you'll be doing at Mass Mocha, you certainly see various stages in your career, and it shows your maturation as an artist. At least for those of us who live through it and we're waiting for the new albums to come out, we see that. And I assume you even reflect on that now.
Yes. It's been an interesting progression, and I think one of the things that, you know, we're very fortunate to have, you know, Chris Stein has an unusual sensibility and eye, and, you know, we've been able to incorporate some things that, you know, have given us this longevity. And also, you know, we're one of the early bands to work with synthesizers and to get into the digital world, because when we started, you know, everything was what do you call it, the other one, analog. So
right.
You know, it was a much different kind of activity, and so, but you know, to grow with the times and to grow with technology was really inspiring.
And you still, I assume you embrace the technology now, and you enjoy that and make it a part of your performance.
Yes, well, I mean, I'm not a technocrat, but, you know, I really appreciate, you know, working with Matt Katz-Bowen, who does a lot of our, you know, programming, and it just expands the sound so much. And the way that, you know, we try to incorporate it with a strong live balance, it's not all, you know, whatever you call it. It's not all just sense inputs or outputs or whatever they are.
Right.
It's you know, it's a very strong live performance as well. So, you know, we've sort of, you know, stumbled on that concept at a very early time. You know, I mean, we actually did that in a. You know, in an elementary way. We were doing that back in the 70s, which is quite a long time ago, when you think about, you know, how technology has, you know, moved, you know, it's accelerated. It's gone really great.
And at the end of the day, there can be the synthesizers, there can be the technology, but at the end of the day, it's Debbie Harry, it's your voice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that is the strongest out of all of that in the equation, I would think.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're kind of fearless, and I don't know if we're fearless or we're just kind of silly and stupid, or, you know, I don't know, a little crazy. I think what we tried to do was to, you know, work with people, try to fit the pieces of the puzzle together, and we, you know, sort of did it in a very childish way, because we were all sort of on an amateur kind of level, and, you know, fit our styles together. And that's why we have a sound, you know, and I think that that's what a lot of bands forget to do, because they're, you know, more accomplished musicians and they've been influenced by things that they've heard. So they sort of forget that sometimes you have to make room for another person's idiosyncrasies. And, it's an ensemble thing, and you know, whether you can actually do that, it works for us. It doesn't work for everybody, but that's all I can say, really. It worked for us.
And it certainly did work, and you look at those idiosyncrasies, but it also is lovely because there is such a range in the music. I mean, the Tide as High is a very different song and a very different sound than, say, Heart of Glass or Call Me.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were looking for that range,
well,
I would assume.
You know, part of our, I don't know, part of our imprint, really. That's what we started doing that at the very beginning, really. But I think that we grew into it, you know, making it clear what our intentions were. You know, as I was saying, you know, we were very amateurish musicians, and, you know, we have... thank goodness, improved.
And you're still improving. I mean, you still look for that? You still want to? Are there still things that you see that you want to improve?
I'm always learning things, you know, which is what they say, you know, that's sort of the best scenario, is to, you know, to keep making incremental, you know, discoveries or, you know, improvements and learning things. It's the way to sort of keep the engine oiled, and, you know, I guess that's how I do it. I'm trying anyway.
Absolutely. Well, Blondie with And the Kids will be at Mass Mocha this Friday night at 7:00. It's all happening at Joe's Field at Mass Mocha, and you can find out more information by going to massmocha.org. Debbie Harry, what a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much. I look forward to the show on Friday night. A delight to have you here on the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I really want everybody to know that NPR is such a great organization and such a great listening experience that I'm very happy to be a part of that in some small way.
Well,
okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Debbie. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Again, Debbie Harry and Blondie with And the Kids will be performing at Joe's Field at Mass Mocha. You can find out more information by going to massmocha.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.